Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle Seven Reasons Why Christ Died. Or we might entitle it Seven Reasons Why Christ Must Die. And we will be dealing with each of these broadcasts, or each of these numbers, titles, that I'm going to give to the seven reasons. Number one, to fulfill prophecy. Number two, to save us from our sins. Number three, to defeat Satan. Christ's death on the cross defeated Satan completely. Number four, to deliver us from this present evil world. Number five, to fulfill the will of his Father, and that required his death. To prove his love, number six, to prove his love to us. Number seven, to be an example to his own. We're going to begin right away because we have a lot of ground to cover in the matter. He had to die to fulfill prophecy. The Old Testament contains prophecies too numerous to deal with on this broadcast concerning the life and the death and the resurrection of Christ. We're going to consult Peter, we're going to consult Philip, we're going to consult Paul, and lastly, we're going to hear from the Lord himself in regard to the Old Testament references to him. Now, in the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Peter the Apostle was justifying the Spirit's movement in the church the day that the church was formed and that the Spirit came down and they spake with tongues, and there was a great, great gathering in Jerusalem at that time. It was at the feast of Pentecost, and people from all over the world were there, Jews from all over nations, and they heard these Christian people speaking in their own tongues, and they knew that they didn't know their tongue. This had to be a miracle. And a miracle it was indeed. And Peter is called upon to explain it. That is, by the Spirit of God, Peter explains this to them. And he says this in Acts chapter 2. Verse 25 we read there, "For David speaketh concerning him," that is Christ, "I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should be moved, not be moved, rather. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Men and brethren, now he's addressing these people that ask what this all meant. They couldn't understand it. And he addresses them, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us until this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of his fruit, the fruit of his loins rather, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Now when did David, as a prophet, speak of the resurrection of Christ? Well, David wrote the book of Psalms, or most of the Psalms, and in the 22nd Psalm, he does exactly as Peter says. He spoke of the resurrection of Christ. Now the resurrection of Christ presupposes his death, doesn't it? Of course. And this was the fulfillment of the scripture. Now let's read Psalm 22. I want you to notice, please, if you will, how this psalm applies to our Lord Jesus Christ. It starts out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Those are the very words that our Lord Jesus Christ quoted when he hung on that cross about the ninth hour. Then we go on, "O my God," and Christ is speaking, "I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season am I not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of all the people. These are the thoughts of Christ, as he hung suffering on that cross, written 1,000 years, a whole millennium before, by David, speaking of his death. Now, this is the death of crucifixion. We read, for instance, a little farther down in this 22nd Psalm, he says, I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. And that would happen when the cross was dropped into its socket. This is how these scriptures are fulfilled. So he says there, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is fixed, is like wax, rather. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, speaking of the terrible thirst that possessed those that were crucified. Let's read on. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. This is a death by crucifixion, and the Jews did not crucify people. This had to occur a whole 1,000 years later, when the Romans were in power, and they did use this crucifixion as a means of execution. Not the Jewish people. This speaks of the cross. Where do we find it? In the 22nd Psalm. Here we are told about the death of Christ. And he, David being a prophet, saw it coming. There is a good saying, and it finds such a complete fulfillment in the scriptures. Coming events cast their shadows before. And so Peter is telling us about the death of Christ in the Old Testament scriptures. And we're going to make a very, very important point about that in just a few moments. Now in Acts chapter 8, we have Philip and his testimony to us concerning the scriptures forecasting, prophesying the death of Christ. We read there in the 26th verse of the 8th chapter of Acts these words, And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. Behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Now that book cost, that roll cost plenty of money. But remember, he is a prince. He's in charge of the treasures of the queen of the Ethiopians. All right, now the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that we'd come up and sit with him in his chariot. Now the place of the scripture which we read was this, and it was the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. Here are the words that he read. Beginning in that 53rd chapter, he was oppressed. Now this is where the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, and for the transgression of my people he was stricken. Now the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, Of whom speakest the prophet this? This of himself, or of some other man? And Philip, we read in verse 35 of that 8th chapter of Acts, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the whole chapter, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, is about the death of Christ. This is from the Scriptures, and Philip tells us so. Paul tells us so in the first epistle to the Corinthians, and in no uncertain terms. Here's what we read there. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. He writes, beginning at verse 1, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and whereon ye stand, by which ye are also saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. He received it from the Lord. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now this had to be the Old Testament. It had to be prophecy, because the New Testament was not written. Let me read this again, please. I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We'll develop this to a great extent in the next broadcast. The point we're making at the moment is that he was reading from the Old Testament. It was prophesied that Christ would come. And may I say that had these prophecies not been fulfilled, the whole Word of God would have been discredited. God knows coming events in advance. No other writings of all the old of the other religions in the world, the Quran, all the holy writings of other religions, do not contain the element of prophecy. Only the Scriptures contain the element of prophecy. Only God knows what is going to happen in the future. Don't attribute that to an idol. And so he tells us, Paul tells us, according to the Scriptures, you see, we're proving our point. Christ had to die to fulfill those Scriptures. It is said, and this is not my research, I'm taking the word of others, that 50 Scriptures, no less than 50 Scriptures, were fulfilled in the last 24 hours of our Lord's life. And many of those Scriptures were fulfilled as he hung upon that cross. Even the quotation from Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I know why God had to forsake Christ, because he was dying for my sins, and God cannot look upon sin. Christ was forsaken. I know the answer to that question. Why hast thou forsaken me? That he might not forsake me, and may he, that he might not forsake you who are listening to this broadcast today. How wonderful that Christ died for our sins. Now there are other, even the Lord himself, expounded on the way to Emmaus to those two disciples that he was walking with. They didn't know him, but he expounded to them from the Old Testament Scriptures. They were grieving that their Messiah had been crucified on the cross. They did not understand that he must go to that cross to save them from their sins and save us from our sins. They didn't understand that. Christ expounded to them the whole of the Scriptures, and later he said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us as he expounded the Scriptures to us in the way, as he told us the Scriptures in the way? How wonderful. Coming events cast their shadows before, the greatest event of all, Christ had to die and confirm those Scriptures. Our Father, today we pray that in this broadcast of Bible studies on the seven reasons why Christ died, that your name will be glorified. We ask it, giving thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.